Some men's lives are told in very few words. Epaphroditus is one of those. And I'm glad I got that out. One time, Mike, a fellow reading the scripture got me while I was listening to it. So it messed up my mind. I couldn't preach the word then when I got up. So I was told Karen, I hope that didn't mess me up here for Epaphroditus. And that's one of the points we're going to make. Epaphroditus is an unusual name. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But some men's lives are told in just a few words, and he is definitely one of them. Everything that we know about Epaphroditus comes from two short passages of Scripture, both of them from one of Paul's shortest epistles. And if I were to ask the question this morning of you, who are your favorite Bible characters? Who are your favorite Bible personalities? Give me a list. I think it would be very rare indeed if Epaphroditus' name appeared on the top 10 list. Yet, he certainly appeared towards the top of the Apostle Paul's list. And Paul regarded him highly, and he made sure that he wasn't forgotten. Because he recorded his name not only in history, but more important, Paul recorded his name in the inspired Word of God so that we can know about him and we can learn from him this morning, some 2,000 years later. So I got two questions for you this morning. Number one, exactly who was Epaphroditus? And number two, why was Paul so fond of him? Why did he like him so much? Well, to answer the first question, here are the facts about Epaphroditus. The first thing we're going to notice is his name. It is an unusual name. Not too many parents that I know of are naming their children Epaphroditus these days. Now, they may be. There's some strange names coming out as you go through the nursery, it seems like. Today at the hospital, and you look at the names, but none that I'm aware of. Been a long time since I've met anybody named Epaphroditus. But his name really is a lovely name, literally. Literally, Epaphroditus translates lovely. In fact, it comes from the Greek word, Aphrodite. Who was the Greek goddess of love. So he has a very lovely name, number one. Secondly, I'd point out that Epaphroditus was a faithful member of the church at Philippi. He was chosen by that church to be their representative. He was chosen by that church to carry a financial gift to Paul. Now, Paul at this point in time is in prison. He's in Rome. He's locked up. And the church at Philippi decides to send a financial gift and some other gifts along with it and to send them over to Paul all the way over to Rome. And Epaphroditus is chosen to carry it over there. Paul, as he closes out his writing to the Philippian letter, he says to them, I've received full payment. You heard it read. And even more, I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. No doubt Epaphroditus was a leader in the church at Philippi. He was trustworthy, of good reputation. He was honest. You say, how do you know that? I know that because the brethren chose him to carry the money. They chose him to be the one that takes the check, if you please. And to go to Rome to see Paul, and brethren are funny about who's going to carry the money. We get real uptight about that sometimes. And so I know that Epaphroditus was of good report, good repute. He was selected. Some have speculated that he may have been an elder in Philippi, but there's nothing to support that, no evidence to support that. May have been, I don't know. But the only thing we know for sure is he was a member of good standing of that Philippian church. Thirdly, most scholars agree and believe that Epaphroditus, here it comes now, Epaphroditus was the courier, the carrier, the UPS FedEx, if you please, of the Philippian letter. They didn't have the mail service. They didn't have overnight courier services. As Paul wrote his letters, they were carried, they were hand carried back to the churches. Well, when the church in Philippi hears of Paul being a prisoner in Rome, they sent Epaphroditus. You heard it read. They sent him with a gift of money, but they also urged Epaphroditus to stay there and help Paul in any way that he could. While helping Paul, Epaphroditus becomes ill, extremely ill. Scripture doesn't tell us what the sickness was, but it does tell us he was near death. The Apostle Paul says he risked his life to come and to stay with me and to help me. But when he recovered, when he got well, Paul thought it was best for Epaphroditus and the best for the Philippian church that he send him back to Philippi. And he sends him back most likely, with the letter that we're reading from this morning, the epistle that we're reading from this morning, which means, had Epaphroditus not gone to Rome to see Paul, and had Epaphroditus not become ill and risked his life, Paul might not have sent him back as earlier, might not have sent him back at all. And we might not have the Philippian letter, the book of Philippians that we read from today. Now, those are the facts about Epaphroditus. Second question is, why was Paul so fond of him? Well, if you have your New Testament with you this morning, you may want to follow along with me in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. Paul's going to describe his relationship with Epaphroditus, and he seems to choose his words very carefully. First of all, Paul calls him my brother. My brother. Paul and Epaphroditus were brothers in Christ. They were brethren. This is true of every Christian. There is a kinship. There is a relationship. There is a bond that is unique to those who make Jesus Lord of their lives and are obedient to his commands. Paul was proud of that kinship. He says we're brethren. Secondly, Paul says we are fellow workers. They're not only united together in their faith, but also in their work for Christ, work for the church. You know, those we feel the closest with through the years. Those we bond with the most. Those that we feel the kinship with the most are those that we work with. We roll our sleeves up. You do, I do, we all do. You work, I work. We work together for the good of the church, for the kingdom of God. Paul says we were fellow workers. And then he referred to Epaphroditus as a fellow soldier. They not only worked together for the gospel, but they had fought against the enemies of God. Remember, Paul's a prisoner. He's incarcerated. He's locked up, but not because he's committed a crime, not because he's a criminal. He is locked up because of his faith. And he says, as fellow soldiers, Epaphroditus and I fought against, we waged war against the enemies, those who persecuted Christians, Satan, and all of his power. So these are the relationships that Paul describes. We're brethren, we're fellow workers, we're fellow soldiers. It shows his high regard for Epaphroditus. Then he describes the relationship of Epaphroditus with the church in Philippi. He says he was your messenger. Your messenger. And the word Paul chooses here for messenger is an interesting thing. It's the same word for apostle. He says he's your apostle. Now, as an apostle, I got to believe the Apostle Paul didn't choose that word frivolously. I think he did it on purpose. I think it was a definite decision. Now, Epaphroditus is not one of the original 12 apostles chosen by Jesus. but he was most definitely chosen by the church, the Philippian church, and he was sent on a mission. He was sent on an errand from the church to go and visit Paul. He was commissioned to not only deliver the financial gift to Paul, but also to take care of any of Paul's needs. But if we really want to know, that's good, and those are the qualities that Paul liked about Epaphroditus. But if you really want to know what it was that meant so much to Paul, why he thought so much and so highly of Epaphroditus, he tells us in verse 30. In verse 30, Paul said he risked his life to make up for the help you could not give me. The help you could not give me. Now let's think about that a minute. The Philippian church had sent money, a financial gift. They had sent other necessities that Paul would need. No doubt they were praying for Paul. What was it that the Philippian church couldn't give Paul that Epaphroditus gave him? What was it? Think about it. Look at it. One thing. A personal visit. A personal visit. It's the same thing the Apostle Paul said of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Onesiphorus, if you remember, came from Ephesus. He was a member of the Ephesian church. He came also to see Paul when Paul was in prison in Rome. And Paul writes of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, he often refreshed me. He searched hard for me until he found me. You know, as important as the prayers were, as important as the financial gift was, as important as everything else that they sent to Paul was, there was just something about a personal visit that Paul says was unequaled. He said, that's what you couldn't give me. But Epaphroditus did. Now, I don't think in any way Paul was discounting what the Philippian congregation had done for him. I don't think it was a reprimand. I don't think it was a complaint. It was the truth, pure and simple. Paul said, Epaphroditus gave me what you couldn't give me. He gave me his time. He gave me his encouragement. He showed me his concern. He helped me. And he did it in a way that cannot be substituted for by anything else. Paul said he made a special visit to me. Now I want to ask you the question this morning. If a personal visit meant that much to the Apostle Paul, just what could a personal visit mean to someone who has moved into this community and is looking for a church home? What could it mean to someone who has visited, perhaps, our worship assembly, to someone who may have moved here from a far distant country, if you please, and they've moved into our area and they don't know a lot of folks? Don't know a lot of people in this area. Or perhaps they do. Maybe they've lived here a long time. Maybe they have had a bad experience at another church. Maybe they're concerned they find a congregation committed to following the pattern left for us in the New Testament. What would a visit mean to them? Maybe it's one of our own. Maybe it's one of our West Park members who's experiencing Distress right now in their life. Might be illness. Might be financial. Might be some personal struggle and they feel alone. They feel by themselves. They need encouragement. They need to be refreshed, as Paul said. I ask you again, if a personal visit meant so much to the Apostle Paul, how in the world can we understand that it wouldn't make a difference to us? It would. Paul said Epaphroditus risked his life to give me what you couldn't give me when he wrote back to the Philippian church. As much as you gave me, and I appreciate what you did. But he said Epaphroditus came and saw me. And Paul writes of him, and I think it's a heartfelt sincerity, when he said of Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:29, he said, welcoming in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. This morning, in just a few moments here, you're going to be asked to help us to make sure that personal visits and follow-up are made by this good church to encourage and refresh those around us. You're going to be given an opportunity, if you want one, to help this congregation do our part to strengthen the kingdom of God in this area at this time. And we hope and pray you'll respond for a lot of reasons. But for one reason for sure, so that it can be said of you when you stand before God, honor him, honor her. Like Epaphroditus, welcome them in the Lord with great joy. But before we do that, there could be someone here this morning that needs in a personal way to respond. You may need to put Jesus on in baptism, have your sins washed away. You may need a specific prayer, a request of this church. Or it may be you've been visiting and you're saying, I'm ready. I want this to be my church home. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.